Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca L. Norrington. I am the world's only happiness specialist, at least as far as I've checked. Happiness specialist, and what the hell does that mean? Who the hell am I? Oh, gosh. I'm just a soul person that was put on this planet, to discover the truth about how to experience more happiness. And when I use that word happy, what I can also say is how to experience more internal peace, how to feel content, how to navigate, flow through this life with an experience of relaxation. You know, you're just pretend you're walking on a battlefield. I don't know if you, one of my favorite movies is Tombstone. And there was this one scene where Kurt Russell, as his character, is just tired of all the fighting, and he goes off rogue and he starts firing his gun, and he's alone. He doesn't have any backup. I mean, he leaves the bushes, he leaves the trees, and he's firing. And in other words, it's a suicide. Why am I even talking about this? It's a suicide attempt. It's kind of the same thing with Kevin Costner did this. What was that movie? I can't even believe I'm talking about movies this early in the show. What is the name of that movie? Kevin Costner. He's on the battlefield. It's one of my favorite. It's really one of my all-time. And what is that? Oh, geez, he's on the battlefield by himself. He sets up camp and he makes friends with the Indians, and then he thinks that he's, you know, he starts becoming a tribe, you know, with a, what the hell? I can't even believe I started the show like that, but it's too late to stop now. This is Reality Spirituality. My purpose on this planet, Lord, my purpose on this planet is to share with you what I've learned, because I have been wanting, seeking, desiring, looking for this thing called happiness for as long as I can remember. You know, people have different focuses, different hobbies, different interests. Sometimes people are into cars, sporting events, puzzles, traveling, gardening, music, masonry, football, you know, women's environment. I mean, we all have different interests. And mine, number one priority is I am into this wanting to experience peace and happiness on my journey. Peace and happiness on this life journey. And what I found are there are obstacles to happiness. There are common behaviors that we practice, and we were taught to practice, and we were taught to make them, to identify with, that subtract from our happiness. And all I'm doing on this planet is giving you the formula, giving you the tools, giving you what has been tried and proven, people. Trust me on this. And it is always evolving. My new thing, because as a happiness specialist, I'm held to a different standard than all you you other wonderful people are held, because, I mean, if I'm talking it, I got to walk it. And, of course, the universe, you know, I'm moved to Oregon about a year and a half ago, and I've always wanted to live in the forest, and I always wanted to live in the forest until I'm living in the forest, because I thought that living in a forest surrounded by trees, hearing water run, I thought, oh, it's peace and serenity. Come to find out, my dear audience, that the peace and and you do have to surrender, the peace and serenity that I was looking for has nothing to do with where I am, has nothing to do with what I'm doing, it has nothing to do with what relationship I'm in or what relationship I'm not in, has nothing to do with my finances, has nothing to do with my health, has nothing to do with my weight, has nothing to do with getting older, none of it. Darn it, damn it. It has something to do with what I am rooted in. What is my foundation? What is the truth of this existence? And the truth of this existence is we were all, every single person that is listening, we were all born peaceful souls living in the moment without judging, without blaming, living in the past, living in the future. And we learned how to do all of these other things that actually subtract from our happiness. We were programmed, in fact, the second book that I'm writing, programmed for unhappiness. We were all of us are programmed, even programmed to believe that words can hurt. Okay, let's get to the topic. But let me just say this first, because, you know, I'm a fly-by-night, let's just, inspiration kind of gal. And sometimes I have to handle a little bit. So I am available for workshops, weekend workshops, seminars, afternoon talks to an hour talk to 2 hours to a whole weekend to a week. Trust me, I can. I have things that I can speak on and get and learn from my audience. Don't think that I'm up here just talking. Trust me. I learn from every single one of you and every single experience that I have, I learn. And when I say I learn, what I mean is I grow from, I expand. We talked last week, so I wanted to say that. Let's see. We talked last week about 5 obstacles to happiness, and let me just give you a quick review. Last week, 5 obstacles for happiness, to happiness, were and still are, living in the future or the past. And I'm not going to go through everything because you can listen to the show before this to get the specifics, but living in the future or the past, having any expectations, and I mean any expectations. You know, I have some wonderful, wonderful friends from California coming to visit this week, and I'm not going to expect that they're coming until I see their eyeballs. I'm not expecting that they are going to, the plan is there, the hotel room has been reserved. Yes, I'm cleaning up the house. You know, you have to dust extra and make sure everything's nice and tidy. But I have no expectations until I see the whites of their eyes. So no expectations. The other thing that I talked about last week was blaming how I feel on any event or any person or any circumstance. The other obstacle to happiness last week was thinking something is serious. Now, that is huge. Oh, let me just say this. I have a few people in the queue. The number to call is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. When you call, if you want to speak or ask a question, just press the number 1. I have people in the queue that just like to listen, and sometimes they want to ask a question, sometimes they don't. Everything's fine with me. Okay, so let's see. Blaming my feelings or blaming how I'm feeling, blaming my mood on a vibration or an event or a person. Thinking something is serious, that's a big one. Oh, my goodness. all you people out there, and I love and I accept all of you, I'm accepting all of you, but all you people out there with causes, and I got my hand raised up because I was the queen of having a cause, from the environment to children to women's rights to littering. You know, I used to get upset when people would litter. Okay, so thinking anything is serious subtracts from your happiness, is an obstacle to happiness. And the last thing I talked about last week, I hope I got to it, was judgment and thinking that something needs to be different than what you're experiencing. Thinking that something needs to be different than what you are presently experiencing. Everything is in order. Everything has a purpose. Everything is unfolding perfectly, even though it doesn't feel like it. Let me give you my definition of happiness. My definition is to be able to be rooted in, and you know what I'm talking about when I say rooted. Just think about a tree and its roots. So a tree is either rooted in a fertile soil. I mean, I got trees here that have been here, I'm sure, hundreds and hundreds of years. They look really, really, and those redwoods in Northern California, I mean, how many years? So what are those trees rooted in? What are you rooted in? Are you rooted in peace? Are you rooted in, or are you rooted in the program? And the definition, my definition of happiness is being able to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. That's it. Happiness is a practiced skill. It is a practiced skill like any other skill that you could name. Any other skill, from being an electrician to being a gardener to being a doctor to being a musician, I mean, to being a race car driver, all of these skills, to being a basketball player, we have a playoff game today, to being anything that is skilled, cabinets, carpenter, you name it. This happiness is a practice skill. It is the same. And it all depends on the individual and how much do they want to prioritize happiness. How much do they want to prioritize? No, scratch they. How much do you prioritize happiness and peace? That's a question that only you can answer, because you're the only one that can make a choice. My choice is happiness is number one. Peace is number one. Contentment is number one. Because if you look out, I'm sorry, but anything can happen to me. And if I'm not rooted in peace and I'm not rooted in contentment, just like I was before I started this journey, trust me, it is a rocky road, up and down and up and down and up and down. And things happen, and now I'm pissed. And something else happens, and now I'm happy. So this peace, this contentment comes from within. It has nothing to do with what is happening. And today's show are five more obstacles, five more obstacles to happiness. So that was a quick review. And today, and I'm going to get to the queue, I'm going to get to you in the queue in just a minute. I've got a few people that want to say hi. And some people, okay, let me just, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. That's another thing. You know, here's a great mantra, and it's, that's okay, and whatever. Whatever, universe, whatever. Let it go, whatever. Okay, five obstacles to happiness, part two. Being rigid. Rigid is the opposite of being open. And I'm only saying this because, trust me, I was one of the most rigid characters on this planet. I had my mind set on what was, quote, right and what was wrong and who people that I would associate with and people who I would not associate with and what I believed and what I didn't believe. I mean, I was a rigid, rigid, rigid. You couldn't give me a new idea. You couldn't sell me a new idea for a nickel. And this being rigid, my dear audience, subtracts from peace, subtracts from happiness. Now, what does being rigid look like? Or what does it feel like? Being rigid means that I have a belief about somebody. Let me just do it part one-on-one because I'm going to use myself as an example because I remember having beliefs about people, and if I had a belief about somebody, oh, there was no way it was going to change unless some tornado hit me and then I lost half of my brain and, oh, and I'm thinking something different. But changing your mind about any circumstances or anything that you have been, you're dug in. You are dug into your belief. You are dug in. This is the way it has to be. This is the way it is. This is the way I see it. There's no other way. When you're dug in that deep, then you're rigid. When you are not open to all possibilities, and that's one of the things I ask the universe for, universe, just keep me open to all possibilities. I don't have any specifics. I don't have any preferences. Just keep me open, universe. Because being open equals peace. Being able to make adjustments in the moment. That means that going from being, you know what? You know what's really popular out there in the world? And again, I was the queen. If I got angry at somebody or had a tiff or an argument, trust me, I could sit. I say trust me a lot. I could sit. I could not talk to somebody for months, for days, for weeks. I could not let anything go. That's actually another obstacle that maybe that's going to be next week, not being able to forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Okay, let me stay on this, rigid. Just behaving in the same way, not being open, not being able to let anything go, not being able to move past, not being able to move past the past. You know what happens on this show, which is so interesting? I have people calling in and then people hanging up and then people calling in. And I'm not going to pretend that I know why people hang up, but I do know that some of the things that I say push buttons, and I do know that some of the things that I say people don't agree with and it rubs people the wrong way. I do know all of that, and I don't know why people hang up. Maybe somebody hangs up because, you know, breakfast is served. And that's another thing. Being open to not knowing, being so rigid that I don't know, I can't know anything. I don't know why people call. I don't know why people hang up. I don't know anything. I have asked the universe to empty my head of knowing anything because I don't. I know I was programmed to believe that I do. I was programmed to believe that I know why. But this being rigid, living rigidly, means that I am only going to view, be one way. Which ties into the second obstacle to happiness, which is a lack of growth. a stagnation. Hold on a second, audience. Hold on a second. Technical difficulties. Technical. I hope you all can hear me. Okay, good. Okay, there. I got it back. Okay. See, lack of personal growth. This lack of growth, this is the example that I can give. This lack of growth, and when I say lack of growth, that means that there has to be an awareness, because when you're aware, you know how you're different and how you've changed and what has changed. That takes an awareness. So this lack of growth means that you are behaving the same way, you are thinking the same thoughts, or have the same viewpoint as you did 6 months ago, or as you did 5 years ago. Lack of growth is stagnation. And our purpose here on this planet is to grow and expand and to be ourselves. When I ask you, how are you different? How are you different than you were 6 months ago? How have you changed since 5 years ago? Give me an answer. There has to be an answer. It's like looking at a toddler. When they're born, oh, look at that. They can smile now. They can laugh. Oh, they're having teeth. Oh, now they can sit up. Oh, now they can crawl. All of it is growth. That makes sense. And everything, this universe is about growth. But the programming that we've all received and we all are a product of, I don't know. It's more of a herd. You know, follow the herd, follow the group, group think, group behavior. And I'm saying that this is an individual game, you and the universe. And let me give you an example of my growth. When I first moved here in the forest, and I don't even like animals. I mean, when I say animals, I'm talking about wild animals that aren't in cages. And I don't like zoos or anything. But anyway, scratch all that. Wild animals that come freely on the deck, on the property, in my presence. I was outside a couple of days ago, and this turkey just walks by me. I think I was just standing really still. I don't know why the turkey, within 2 feet, was just walking by me. It was behind me. I didn't even see the turkey till I turned around. And let me tell you something. When I first moved here, that would have been a scream, a yell, a startle, a jolt. I was a nervous wreck. I couldn't walk out of the doors. I call it the treehouse. I could not have walked out of the treehouse without jumping from a lizard to a bug you got the deer, I've seen bats. So I was very jumpy. And now, a year and a half later, I see these things, and sometimes I'm startled, but the vibe is different. I'm more at peace. Now, I've told you the story about the robins banging on the windows, and I'm saying that last year, when it happened, because they come every year, I was angry, I was frustrated, I was, how can I stop this? I was resisting. And now, it's a different vibe. It's a peaceful vibe. Okay, the robins are here. What do I do? How do I get them off the windows? And it's just a calm, calm procedure. That's change. That's growth. That's evolution. And the question is, I want you to look and just be aware of how are you different. And, you know, this celebrating the growth, the smallest things. Okay, so now I walk out and I don't jump and I'm not jumpy and I'm not a nervous wreck and I'm not looking over my shoulder and I'm not looking right to left. That's a thing to celebrate. Growth is personal growth, spiritual growth is something to celebrate. But do we get awards for that? Do we get awards, accolades, more arrays for growing personally and being more peaceful? I haven't heard of any, because if they did, I'd be getting an award all the time. I'm sorry, but it's because it's my focus. It's my focus. Here we go. So that's the number two, lack of growth. And it is a softening and it is a recognizing of, wow, I used to be like this. Some people say that, well, you know, I got older and I mellowed. What I'm telling you is that there is, that you can consciously, you don't have to wait till you're 93 to be mellow. You can mellow out and things don't bother you and things don't irritate you now. That's another obstacle to happiness, not growing. Here we go. And this is a big one. This is huge. This is what I am practicing now. And again, happiness is a practiced skill. This is what I'm practicing right now. There are so many stories in my head. And if there's stories in my head, I know there's stories in your head. And the stories are all coming from the ego. The stories are all coming from the opposite of what the universe is, because the universe doesn't use words or stories. The universe is all about energy and vibration and flow. So recognize that these stories, that's a clue right there. If it's a story, that is an obstacle to your happiness. And I don't even care if it's a good story, because the ego tries to trick me up with that, with, oh, telling a great story. No. The stories are interesting because the stories will always tell you what's going on and what's wrong. The stories always want to describe. The stories always want to judge. The stories always want to find fault. The stories always tell you that there's something wrong here or there's something right here. I ask the universe, empty my head. Empty my head. I mean, I recognize, hear the stories. I know the stories. There's always a story, and the stories are an obstacle to happiness. Even the stories that, you know, words are so limiting. They're so very limiting. It's not very easy to communicate. And let me be specific. When I say it's not easy to communicate, because I could use a word. I could use a word, respect. Oh, that word is thrown around a lot. Oh, lack of respect. He doesn't respect his elders. He doesn't respect me. Disrespect. He disrespected me. All this illusion of respect. It's another story. I was disrespected. I was offended. Another story. The belief in the stories is the problem. Nobody can disrespect you. That disrespect is another man-made term, is a man-made word. And anything that is man-made, man-created, is suspect. one of my foundational authors and people on this planet, oh my goodness, I can't even believe that I just found this man, a few years ago. But everything is in order, is David Hawkins, Hawkins. And I'm reading from The Eye of the Eye, which is such a powerful, powerful book. He's written a lot. You can go on YouTube and listen to some of his lectures. I mean, this guy was just, woo, and I had a blowout revelation today, just before I started the show. But I want to read, and I usually don't do this, but this is so perfect because this is part of the stories. And I open the book, and this is what I do. I've read the book a lot, and I just open it, and here it opened to this page. And it opened to this page for this particular reason. You see, when you trust the universe is guiding you and is serving you to your highest good and is there for you, regardless of what it looks like or regardless of what it feels like, you know that you can be led and drawn and just inspired. And I usually don't even read before this show. But anyway, okay, I'm going on and on. So I opened the book to this page, The Eye of the Eye, page 250. Now, I don't know, there's different versions of the book. And it says, what is the basic mainspring of the egos of the ego? And I'm just going to read this because it's very powerful. So David Hawkins is, and the ego is about stories. Believing it is a separate entity, the ego resists this illusion based on its fear of non-existence. I didn't read the question correctly. What then is the basic mainspring of the ego's self-propagation? The answer. Believing it is a separate entity, the ego resists this illusion based on its fear of non-existence. The ego is afraid of being non-existent. It fears coming to an end and not surviving in time. Its notion of reality is very limited, and it doesn't know what lies beyond itself. The ego cannot experience the infinite or know the exquisite presence or know the divine will replace it. The ego clings to the small personal I because it has no other knowledge or no other conscious experience of the infinite peace or joy of the I, capital I, that comes into awareness when it's replaced. The ego cannot be blamed for its own ignorance. It has no notion that anything exists beyond its own limited parameters. To go beyond its own self-imposed limitations and boundaries is not a goal that can originate from the ego itself. In other words, we can't solve any problem. We can't solve any issues using the ego. Unaided. The ego cannot transcend itself or dissolve its own hindrances and limits. It's like an isolated tribe that is unaware that there is a whole world beyond itself. You know, you've seen those, the people that live off the land, the people that live in the jungles from Africa to South America, you know, the people that just live isolated to their tribes that never see out the outside world, people that without technology, without cell phones, without airplanes, you know, those people, it's the same thing as they have no idea. This is just giving an example. They have no idea what the other world is like. Back to reading. I always have to insert myself. Here we go. Commonly, the members of primitive societies refer to themselves as the people of the earth. The ego is neither bad or the enemy, but merely an illusion to release so that something far better can replace it. So when I ask the universe to empty my head, I'm asking the universe to get rid of the stories, to soften, to quiet the ego, and replace it with the universe. Here we go. This now, and then I turn to another page. Now listen to what threw me for a loop today. And let me just, when I say threw me from a loop, it's not even through me. It just, wow, what a different perspective. Now this goes out to all my people out there that are astronomers. Trust me, I wanted to be an astrologer, the Sagittarius to the, what sign are you to the Capricorns, all of that stuff. Moon rising in Saturn, the whole thing. Jupiter rising, sun sets in the east, whatever. So David Hawking was writing about the constellations and all of the belief systems that come from the zodiac signs, desires and worldly passions, belief systems resulting in selective perception. So he was talking about the zodiac signs. And he gave an example that, you know, if you take a picture or look up at the signs and you see all, and people can draw a map of the dog, the cat, the bear, the Orion's belt, all of those things that are in the sky. But do you realize, have you ever thought about, it just blew my mind today, have you ever thought about that if you're anywhere other than on Earth, that you're not going to see any of those stars aligned that way? That if you're on the moon or if you're on Mars or if you're on any other planet or you're just drifting through space, you're not going to see the stars in the same alignment you see them on Earth. I mean, that was an aha moment for me. Back to the five obstacles of happiness. Okay, so we got one, being rigid, lack of growth, believing the stories. And here we go. This is number four. Being impatient. And I don't care if it's in a moment or it's a week or a day or circumstances. All impatience, rushing, impatient with allowing the world to unfold, allowing your life to unfold, wanting something, hurry up, come on, I wanted it yesterday, I'm snapping my fingers, wanted it yesterday, come on universe, I'm impatient, where is it, when is it? I wanted to live in the forest since I was younger, going back and forth to Yosemite for summer vacations. When I got older, 17, 18, I'll never forget, I took a trip to Carmel, Monterey. I want to live in the forest. When I retire, I'm going to live in the forest. So you're talking 18, and I'm 63 now. I know I sound 43. 63 now, and now I'm in the forest. The ego is very impatient. All impatience subtracts is an obstacle to your happiness. Impatience is a programmed energy, a programmed mindset, a programmed behavior. It's programmed to be impatient. We're not looking at the baby when it's younger and saying, hey, baby, hurry up and start walking. Hey, baby, hurry up and train yourself. Do you know how much patience you have to take to anybody out there that are parents know how much patience it takes to potty train a child? Patience. And I have to say, there is a lot of impatience that goes with that. I remember, hey, I'm tired of buying diapers for 2 years. Let's go. But you, if you are a parent, you know what I'm talking about with this impatience. But we don't yell at the baby and say, hurry up and grow and turn into an adult. you look out into nature, there is no impatience in nature. In fact, it is the opposite. That's why they invented the speed-up camera. I mean, if you ever look at those National Geographic episodes, documentaries, they're speeding up the growth of either an animal, the growth of a tree, the growth of a flat plant, whatever. Speed it up. But life isn't like that. We're programmed. Come on, now, we'll do it now. Impatience is another obstacle to happiness and peace. And the ego will tell you this should have happened, or why isn't this happening now? Impatience is an obstacle to happiness. And the last thing for today's show, which is a big obstacle to happiness, is taking anything personally. Now, I've talked about this before plenty of times. And I don't care if somebody's yelling at you, calling you by your first name, Susie, you're a bitch. Susie, you're inconsiderate. Susie, whatever it is. Sorry for you Susies out there. But taking anything personally is an obstacle to happiness. I don't care if somebody doesn't talk to you. I don't care if somebody doesn't say good morning after you said good morning. It's not personal. And the practice of letting go of personalizing this existence, this journey, will lighten you up. You will not believe. I'm telling you, from being ignored. What did I do? Oh, I was at the a senior center the other day, and you know, I walk in. Were saying good morning, and I didn't hear this woman say good morning to me. And I mean, I'm in work mode. I've got to, you know, make orange. It's the Saturday morning breakfast. I got to make orange juice. I got to get the grill for the eggs. I got to get the ice. Okay, we have breakfast served. It's 8 o'clock, and it's 7:30. I got to get in motion. And I did not hear her say good morning. But what I did hear was her, they call me pancake there. What I did hear was her say, oh, you don't want to say good morning to me. Oh, you're just ignoring me. Oh, you don't care. When she said you're ignoring me, you didn't say good morning. What did I do? I mean, taking all this so personally. My dear audience, take nothing personally, from somebody's comments to somebody's behavior to what anybody, even, I think I covered that, to what happens. You're driving, especially for you California people, you know, you're driving on the road and somebody cuts you off, oh, it's personal. Take nothing personally. Look out into this world. Look at nature. When you have questions, look and see how nature is flowing. There is nothing personal out there. The rabbit that gets eaten is not personal. The leper is just hungry. The bear what do bears eat? I think bears just eat berries, right? They don't eat. Do they eat meat? Let's go back to the shark. The shark's eating, it's not personal. A shark chops off, you're in the water, then a shark takes a chomp out of your leg. It's not personal. The tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, not personal. We were taught to get our feelings hurt, to feel bad. Somebody slighted, somebody said, somebody did something. I don't care what it is said, how many fingers are pointing, it's not personal. I got a whole email from someone. I'm not going to be specific, but it was just so many attacks. So many air quotes here, personal attacks. You claim to be spiritual. You claim to be, I mean, on and on and on. And I'm reading it, and even though it's addressed to me, it's got things listed about me. It's not personal. This is an impersonal world. But you were taught to take it personally. And whatever you learn, you can unlearn. It's not personal when somebody ignores you. It's not personal when somebody doesn't text back. And you know what? Listen, how about this? Or calls you back. How about this? Even if the person that is not texting you back or calling you back says, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them or even give them a comment. It's still not personal. We are on our individual journey with our individual lessons, with our unique. We are as different as our fingerprints. I've said it a million times, maybe not a million, but a lot. We are different. We are as different as our fingerprints, and each journey, excuse me, is custom made for the individual. The universe, you are a physical extension of the universe. The universe lives through you. Know the difference. Feel the difference. Be aware of the difference between, excuse me, the universal energy, the universal vibration, and the other, and everything that's not. Hold on a second. I need to take a swig of water. Hold on a second, audience. Hold on. Hold on. So those are the five obstacles of the happiness part two today. Being rigid, lack of growth, believing the stories, being impatient, and taking anything personally. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Excuse me. Follow me on Twitter. Hold on. More water. And as soon as the show's over, I'm not gonna cough. Follow me on, let's see, my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a couple of videos on YouTube. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. And if you want to say hello or you want to have a question, just press the number one. I have a few people in the queue, but I don't know if people want to speak now. If you want to talk to me live, just press the number one. So my first book, Reality Spirituality, you can find that on Amazon. Hold on a second. I have three people that want to speak, and we're going to take them in order. Hold on just a second. Let me see, that was first question. Hold on a second. Area code 818, prefix 358, your live reality spirituality. What's your first name? Hello, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. How are you doing, Sister Rebecca?
Pastor Don?
Yes, ma'am. Junior CEO all day long.
Well, I love it. I love it. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. What's going on, Pastor? Let me ask you a question, because I've never had a pastor call in before. So what was your calling?
Oh, my calling was I've been sent, and not only I've been sent, like in a Bible, they said many are called, but few are chosen. It's destiny. Everything happens for a reason, and not only does everything happen for a reason, we all are trying to find our way through society and life, and we lack the resources of wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things from the ancients, and you're very universal and spiritual, and I love the energy you bring to the platform, which I've been on over 4,500 platforms, and I was 3 months carried into a radio station, so I really understand the power of Wi-Fi and radio waves, but with us all lacking resources, we have to put ourselves out there, and if we don't experience bad things, we can't break. Like when we work out, our muscles have to break and be rebuilt. So as a pastor, we have to not be in the world but of the world, but we have to understand the people in the world. One thing that made Jesus so powerful, he sat with everybody, whether you were good, bad, or indifferent, and he listened. That's one of his first miracles was turning the water to wine at the wedding, because he wanted the services to continue so people could still keep that joy with them. So hopefully I answered your question. I know it was a long answer, but pastors can be one with me.
No, it's very good, very good. Now, because I have another question to ask you. Only because, and you know, I was getting chills while you were talking. I always get chills when I either speak the truth or hear the truth. I was getting chills by a couple of things that you said. But can I'd like to ask you, I know you called in to talk to me, but I'd like to ask you a question if you don't mind.
I love questions. Go right ahead.
Okay, good, good. And you said, can you, I'm going to write your whole name down. You said, Pastor
Don, D-O-N, J-R, C-E-O, 8 characters. And I'm going to break it down for you. Pastor,
okay.
Because I've been preaching the gospel as a full-time pastor for 12 years. I got saved when I was 10. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I also believe in logic. If I jump in front of a train, no matter how many wonderful things I'm supposed to do with God, I will be ran over. A Don, because I come from the entertainment industry. There's no rules. It's kind of ran like a mob, and because I've been doing it for over 21 years, you know, I watched a lot of mafia movies. I kind of understand that play. Junior, my father is a in 1965, he had a FCC first class communication license when he was 16. So his friends was getting hung, and he was reported on it on the radio. So I have real big shoes to fill. And as a CEO, I've been a banquet captain for the Hilton for 15 years. I lived in 40 out of 50 states. I've been in radio for 21. And I sold books and magazines for 4 years door to door. So I've done a lot of jobs. I worked at Fortune 500 companies, Warner Brothers, Microsoft, PayPal. So I've had my share of different situations. So when I say CEO, after designing thousands and thousands of websites and working with a lot of CEOs and owning a lot of businesses, you put it all together as Pastor Don Jr., CEO. So it's a lot of facets to me. So I'm like an Encyclopedia Britannica. I would love any questions.
So you know what, and you know what's really interesting about what you just said, everything, because what I talk about is this program of the programming that we all received, and I know you called in to ask me a question, but the program, but this is just reality, spirituality, this is how the show rolls. The programming and listing all of your talents, your titles, your experiences, your who are you, really, and I'm saying this with because I same thing for me. It really, who are you as a person? As a person, who are you without all the titles? Let me ask you a question. What are your top? I would say 3 personal challenges, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But what are your top 3 personal challenges? Because I heard all of that, and let me tell you, in this man-made world, titles are important, Money is important.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's all knowledge, you know, that's important. But I like to know, who the hell are you as a person, and what are your personal challenges, if you don't mind?
Okay. Okay. Well, first off, number one, I am a stone cold father. I don't know if you heard my daughter in the background. And
yeah.
She is my everything. You know, my first son, he's 21, and me and his mother, we didn't get along. And, you know, I got married when I was, like, 19. I always felt like, you know, you got to do the right thing. So me being
question,
a straight
question,
shooter kind
question,
of guy,
question,
yeah,
after
I got married.
You get along now?
No. But, I mean, that's the whole thing. That's again, this is real life, and you want me to keep it real and keep
that's
it real.
That's right.
We don't like each other, and I am a human being. I still never got over the fact she stole it from me when he was 6 months, and now he's 20.
Ooh,
and he's
wait.
Different, you know. So, but I, again, I'm keeping it 100% transparent. Most people won't take that mask off and tell the truth. So that's a big challenge for me. So I'm a great father now that I have my hair screwed on straight. But prior to that, I didn't know what I had, and when I did know what I had, I didn't get a chance to evolve into what I could be. You know, you didn't give me time. It's like, boom, I didn't have no kids before. They didn't come out with a manual and say, hey, this is your manual for me.
Right.
You
right.
know, you gotta learn how those things go. So, needless to say, I have one son, a daughter, and I have another daughter on the way. So it's a refreshing situation. And the biggest challenge that I have is just accepting the refreshing. Sometimes you help so many people, and when it's your turn to get the refresher, it's like, wow, how can I take this help? So that's one. Last one, I would say, is love. I love hard. I love harder than anybody else on this planet. I feel like
Hold on a second, Pastor, because those are just words. And listen, I'm here because this show is reality spirituality. So when you say you love hard, is that everybody? Because you said that you still don't get along with the first, I don't know if she was your wife or not, but the first woman, you said you don't get along with her.
Right, and you don't have to get along with somebody to love them. Now, I don't want to see anybody suffer, but love
okay.
is one of those ugly feelings that it has so many different facets to it, meaning that some people put more love into the building of the church than the spirits that actually keep that church building alive. But it's still the same energy of love going out in the universe. It's just the people.
Well,
that
let me say this. Let me say
it.
This because trust me, I've had my share of relationships that you know I don't get along, don't like. But when it really comes down to it, and somebody, you know, the pointing and saying that somebody did something to me or stole from me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. Stole from me, whatever, cheated on me, whatever you want, whatever, you know, whatever kind of problems we're talking about or challenges that we're talking about. The only reason, and see, that's how I know. If somebody's out there that I have a problem with, it's my responsibility to not have a problem with them. I got to walk it. I've got to accept. You know, I was told 2 years ago that I couldn't go to a funeral, to my father-in-law's funeral by my ex-sister-in-law. Wait a minute. Listen, but see, the thing is, I would have her in my house tomorrow. If I saw her, my arms would be open. I went to another
right.
family funeral, and she was there. My arms would be open. So, see, the walking it is different than the talking it. And there are no enemies out there. There are no people that I have a problem with. There are no issues. And if I have a problem with anybody, and I'm only speaking about myself, then I got to look in the mirror. I got to look in the mirror because I have more work to do. And, see, my son comes from, you know, there were like 5 or 6 years where I didn't talk to my son's father. But see, when I look at the child, when I look at my child, he is more important than my ego, my pride. So whatever it is, and I years and years and years, and I'm not, oh, I'm this wonderful person. No, not at all. But it's bigger. This life is bigger than my small little issue. Pride. There's no pride is an illusion of man. So My thing is, the relationships with the mothers or the fathers of these children, I mean, I'm begging you people that are out there, their parents, please, please, at the sake of a child, because the child, the children are getting affected by this, do whatever you can, accept, let go, and open your arms to these people, just like the universe does. There are people say universe, God, spirit, energy, source. It doesn't matter the word, whatever word you want to use. But walk it. Walk it.
Well,
I can't have a problem with anybody. I can't have a problem with anybody. Even if
can I make a statement? And this is going to help. And I want to make this statement. It's not World War III and we can't be cordial individuals. It's kind of, and this is the most, and this is the most analogetic way I can say it so it makes sense. It's like a back problem. You can go to a chiropractor and get your back set up and be going through for a long time and everything. And one day you move the wrong way and it comes back and it hurts and the pain is still there. But it doesn't mean that you didn't get the proper medicine to secure the healthy 4 or 5 years you didn't have that back issue. So I say all that to say that this, and I'm glad that we're on the perfect show, Reality Spirituality Radio, because the spirit is real. The book of God, the Bible, is one way, and it's like watching a movie. When you watch a movie when you're 5, you watch that same movie when you're 10, you watch that same movie when you're 25, and you watch that same movie when you're 40, then your lives have been enlightened, your environment has changed, and you can see more. You can say, hey, oh, whoa, they said that? I can't believe they said that. They did this and all that. So with me being the man that I am today, and I'm glad you said what you said, I have my own issues as a pastor and titles. Yes, I am a man of God, but I still put my pants on. I still cuss. I still smoke. I still drink. I still have issues. That's why I come on these radio shows, to understand my faults, to know what the holes I need to fill in the void prior to me 5 years down the road in 2024 being president. Everything that's happening right now is not by chance. It's all destiny, and that's why we have what you just said, and I love open dialogue where you can bring the real spirit, and you have to test the spirit. Every relationship, one party is going to be stronger than the other party. One party is going to be the aggressor. One party is going to be the receiver of that aggression. One party is going to be proactive. One party is going to be following suit. So
listen. You know, I really appreciate you and like you. Let me say this. One of the things, you know, one party's going to be sold and one party's going to be sold. So what you're saying are things that are programmed, because this world is something that I don't know. What I've learned on this path is I don't know anything. I might think I know the plans. I might think I know people, but you know what? I know smaller than one tenth of the universe. And the ego will tell me, I know. But one thing, you know, you are such a great example. Forget the titles and all. You're such a great example of being honest. This life, this radio show is about what's behind the scenes, what's behind the curtains, what's behind the curtains, and you just being open to sharing something that is, I mean, I don't know any pastor's going to sit there and say that, yeah, I got my issues and actually voice them on radio. So it is about people knowing that we are all struggling, challenged by the world and the environment, and just being open. And you know what? I'm getting chills just listening and being on this phone with you, because I don't know how many pastors come out and say, yeah, I don't speak to, or I can be cordial. See, you know, I don't know. I'm bowing down and I'm appreciating your honesty. But the other thing is, how have you changed? I mean, specifically, you know, I'm asking you all these questions. You're called to ask me a question. This is my last one.
Well,
how have you?
I'm led by the spirit, and I'm supposed to be led by the spirit. And this is your platform.
Okay.
This is your house. And when I come into your house, I'm coming to sup with you. And the whole situation is what made me change. And I'll be honest. At one point, if you look at pictures from me, I say from about 1997 to about 2004, bandanas, no shirt, always gold. I was a mirror image of Tupac. But then one day it switched, and then I got back to my shirts and ties, and then I'm in a three-piece suit everywhere I go. So evolution happened, and it's kind of like when life happens and reality hits you in the face and you're tired of my people are being shot in the street. And I'm not talking about just the police shooting black people. I'm not talking about the gangs killing gangs. I'm talking about people walking in the stores, and they're getting so much hate and racism and just negativity because they don't have the right energy on one side. One energy, I'm not coming into the store with the right energy, and then to another energy, I don't want nobody to come in my store, but my store is open. So I realize we lack resources, and my purpose on being here on this earth is to bring resources where there is none and to be effective with limited resources. And the most power that I have is the human resource. If I could change somebody's mind and save somebody a whole life of nonsense, 2 or 3 minutes of some pain you don't have to endure, then I've done my purpose. I believe in prevention over cure all day long. If I can prevent it, it's better. So because I didn't get it right and because I didn't do it right, I know that I'm supposed to go to heaven as a pastor, but I don't want to get into meeting with God and saying, okay, God, I'm here. And he's like, hold on, you didn't do this. And people come across my desk, especially people that don't have it together. And again, it goes back into as a pastor, I'm only dealing with people that's 98% of what they're supposed to be. I'm not going to answer a question that I don't know the information or that I can't give you a 100% solid answer. Because if I leave
right, you okay, so hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let me just say this. This is where I'm coming from, and then I'm going to go, unless you have a question for me after I say this. Let me say this. You know, this judgment of you know, talking about who you used to be and who you are now, there was nothing wrong with who you used to be. God doesn't see anything wrong with who you used to be. The judgments, all judgments are man-made. There's nothing wrong with who you used to be. There are nobody's just walking around here. There's something wrong. This is a world that is everything is in order. Everything is unfolding in order. Now, man wouldn't think it's in order. Man would find fault. Man would find something wrong. But there's nothing wrong. I don't find fault with the, you know, the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. So this looking at and finding fault or finding wrong or judging, or there's nothing wrong with the rappers. There's nothing wrong with the gold chains. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. It is an evolution of this life, an evolution of the human existence. And if you want to look at what's wrong, the problem is judging that there's something wrong. This life is an experience. Life is an experience without judgment. I mean, that's what I share. That's what I learned, because you're talking to somebody that was the most judgmental, opinionated person on the planet. I would look and find fault with so many things, and what that does is it doesn't bring peace. I'm talking about getting back to who I am as when I was born. Peaceful, peaceful. I'm not looking at anybody finding fault. The baby that's a year old, year and a half old, 2 years old, doesn't look at somebody and find fault with them. So, you know, do you have a question for me?
I do have a question for you. Okay, you're quietly approaching 500 episodes. Now, they had this movie, Vin Diesel. He said, well, I wanted to become a tough guy, so I felt like I had to fight 500 fights. And when you're dealing with the Wi-Fi in the universe, and a lot of people don't understand that these two things, the magnetic waves and the everything is vibration, what would you say? What would you say that you've been feeling in the universe for 2019? Because for me, dealing in the spirit as a pastor, it's been a year of confirmation. I've been in confirmation from everywhere. I can't stop seeing 22. But you being a universal expert, what do you feel in the universe on a vibrational frequency as far as 2019 being a year of confirmation for people? How do you feel about that?
Well, let me say this. One of the things, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but one of the things I usually don't do is is hypothetical questions or philosophical questions. But I will answer this. And the only reason why I don't do that is because I already know I can go around and around and around and talk to you all day. I mean, you're one of those guys that has a lot of things to say, a lot of ideas, a lot of perspectives, and I love that and I accept that. But what one of the things that I do is, what's the problem? What's the solution? Identify the problem. What's the solution? I'm one of those bullet kind of girls, kind of chicks. So but let me say this to answer your question. I will. Oh, hold on just a second, because I got to go back to the board here. I just lost the board. Hold on. I just lost the board. Don't go anywhere. Ooh, it's fire today. It's fire. Okay. This is how I'm going to answer it, because my response, how I contribute to the world, how I contribute to this planet, is by my own personal vibration, my priority, my personal vibration. And when I'm vibrating peace, and I'm vibrating contentment, and I'm vibrating satisfaction, and I'm vibrating balance, and I'm vibrating trust, and surrendering, and knowing that everything is in order, I'm contributing to the world like that. So I don't look out in the world and find anything wrong. I don't look out into the world and find fault or anything wrong. Even the things that, trust me, Pastor, I would have found fault with everything. I mean, years ago, I would have found fault. But when I'm on this journey to be a happiness specialist and how to experience more peace, and when I'm peaceful, the world is more peaceful. When I'm peaceful, when I'm accepting of all, the world is accepting. That's what I'm contributing. I don't know if I answered your question, but it is an individual game, one-on-one. This general open conversation, great. But what is? That's why I asked you specifically. What are your challenges?
Well, okay, my question. So you know that you answered it. My question was more so, and you answered it, but I'm gonna streamline it a little better for you. I understand that you always look out from your perspective, and what I'm saying to you is, I don't know your story like you know your story, but you know how much stuff you had to endure to continually get almost up to, you had like 450, 428, somewhere around there. You're close to 500 episodes. But you knew how much struggle it had to stick with the program and for you to evolve to say, hey, I was a hater at one time. I'm not hating anymore. I know what my purpose is. I'm saying, do you feel like that this is your year of coming into enlightenment? Or is it the confirmation year? Do you feel like you got 5 more years to go? Do you feel like you got 10 more years? Right path? Do you feel like you've arrived, or you feel like you're still trying to figure it out? That's what I'm saying. Because this is the year I'll figure it out.
Well, let's say this. It is a constant moment by moment experience of what I've learned, meaning that what I've learned let me just hit you with this. My thing is, what adds to happiness and what subtracts from happiness? Very simple. And what I learned is the things that subtract from happiness, the things that subtract from peace. And I learned that the things that, in other words, what to practice, the things that will add to my happiness and my peace. When I say happiness and peace, it's the same thing. Peace, contentment, add to it, and what not to it. Just like a recipe, making a cake. You want to make a chocolate cake? Well, there's a chocolate cake from the supermarket, and there's a gourmet chocolate cake. And so what I've learned is what subtract from happiness. And some of the things that subtract from happiness, some of the obstacles are living in the past and the future. So I practice. This happiness is a practice skill. So I practice living in the present. I practice not having expectations. I practice not having attachments. I practice not judging. So I practice everything, and it is a daily practice. And I'm going to be practicing until I'm dead. Now, I'm way different than I was a year ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago. So what I see is I'm just evolving, but there's no attachment to what, you know, an end game. But I'll tell you this. You can curse me out and call me any kind of name to my face, yell at me and scream at me, and I can sit there and listen to you and not take anything that you said personally. I can still be peaceful. I couldn't do that 10 years ago. I couldn't do that 5 years ago. So it is a constant. I will be growing until I croak, until I breathe my last breath.
Well, I'm hanging out for the rest of the show. I don't know how much time is left, but I'm just loving the energy here. My number is on your board. Call me after the show. People like you, I want to get more listeners and more audience too, because if we can keep it real with ourselves, we can keep it real with the world, and then we'll see change. And without that, it won't happen. And the five obstacles is us just getting out of ourselves. If you already listening online, the call-in number is 646-564-9619. Push number one. Sister Rebecca needs to hear from you. This is real. It never happens like this before.
Well, again, what part of California are you in?
Not in California. My business is based in Arizona. I started my company in Studio City, right down from Universal Studios.
Oh,
and then
okay.
We upgraded in Las
I'm
Vegas.
I'm a California girl, so I know 818 is California.
Studio City, yeah. I stayed right off the 101 in Lakers Center for like 2 years, hardcore, and it was crazy. But then we moved up to Las Vegas, so... Now I'm in Arizona. I'm working on a reservation with the natives.
Okay. Well, I love you connecting, and I love you calling in. And you're absolutely right. And the people, I'm going to have to apologize on the show. We're going to have to continue this again next week, because I'm just realizing, see, I get all wrapped up and all passionate about it. I'm just realizing we're way past the show time. So we'll continue this next week. And thank you so much, Pastor. Don Joe Jr., CEO, correct?
Don Jr., CEO. Yes, it is. That was perfect. That was perfect. You got it right. All right.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you
well,
so
I'm
much
here.
For calling.
Please,
I really appreciate it. Call anytime.
All right. So I'll be
okay,
here.
Bye-bye. All right. So there we go. What a great, you know, you never know how this show is going to evolve or flow. I just love it when I love it when people call in and they're so honest and open. And you know, I just the more we share, my dear audience, the more we share of ourselves and the truth about ourselves and the truth about our struggles and the truth about what we need help with or assistance with. I'm raising my hand right now. Don't think that I have, that I'm not up here challenged just because I'm a happiness specialist. Don't think that I'm not challenged by life. I've listed all the challenges. I mean, come on, you can't be any more challenged than when your mother dies and she leaves everything to the handyman. You know, the universe hits me with real life stuff. I mean, if I claim to be a happiness specialist, well, take that. And so next week we're going to talk about five more things, and you know, then I'll probably wrap that up. We're going to talk about five more things that are obstacles to happiness. But wrapping this up, the obstacles to happiness are living in the past or the future, having any expectations, blaming feelings or events, blaming your feelings on an event or a person, thinking something is serious, judging that there's something wrong with this world or with anybody in it, being rigid, believing the stories, a lack of growth, and that's one thing that I love about Pastor Don was talking about his growth over the years, being impatient is another thing that subtracts from obstacles to happiness, or taking anything personally. So back to ending the show, you can find me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, you can go on YouTube and watch some of my YouTube. I have a few of those out. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and or Lulu.com. That's Lulu.com. The book I'm writing now is called Program for Unhappiness. And until next time, my dear audience, and I also am available for speaking engagements, weekend workshops, seminars, you name it. I'm out there to share and not because of something wrong with the world, but just share with what I've learned about finding and experiencing this inner peace. I mean, what is more important than having inner peace? Is it health? Is it money? Is it titles? Is it fine? What is it? I believe that it's number one. This peace that people are seeking is number one. But that's just me and whatever, you know. Listen, whatever you think is going to be fine. That's another thing. I don't want you to just believe. My purpose on this planet is just to share my perspective. That's it. To share my perspective, and if it resonates with you, great. And if it doesn't resonate with you, that's good too. But to share with what I've learned, because I don't know, but all the songs, all the movies, I want to be happy. But how to? So on this show, I teach how to. I want you to remember until next week, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself, and be patient and kind to those people that you quote-unquote have issues with. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You're listening to Reality Spirituality with your host, Rebecca L. Norrington, and I will talk to you again. Have a conscious week, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for all? Good now.
Get real.
Good.